Okay, let me get it together. Whew. Was that not beautiful? Thank you so much, Kim, for sharing that song. Her church actually shares worship space with MCCDC. So MCCDC has their service in the mornings and her church meets in the afternoon. And so I had an occasion to do an event with them. And she got up to minister that song and I was like, oh my gosh, I need her to come sing somewhere, anywhere. It was just so touching. And there's something about our personal experience. There's something about our personal story that I believe moves others in hearing just how their relationship to God, their relationship to their faith, however that manifests for you, plays out in your life. And so I just sensed such a genuineness in her. I was happy to invite her to share with us this morning. So again, thank you for driving over from DC this morning. And we really appreciate you. Yay. So good morning, MCC Nova. Oh, thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to be with you all. You guys are so great and so loving. I am standing, of course, in the barefooted stead of Reverend Emma Chatham. So she's barefoot. I've got shoes on today. I do. Look at him. He's up here checking. Like, does she have shoes on today? very happy to be here and to give her the opportunity to have some time away. It's very important. Self-care is very important, and particularly folks who are in leadership positions, religious leadership positions, feel like we can't take that time for ourselves because I know we think the world's going to stop. I don't know what we think, but we're human just like anyone else, and we need that time away. So we bless her and Heather as they've been posting some great pictures to Facebook. They're enjoying themselves at the Scottish Rite Festival. Is that what it is? Yes. Amen. So I'm glad she was able to partake in that. So that leaves you with me today. All right. I'll pay all y'all later for that. Thank you. To do a couple of things. So we're going to have a talk a little bit this morning around the sermon topic, Be the Christ That You Want to See. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about where that comes from. It's sort of a play on a saying from Mahatma Gandhi, which is why I included him in the second reading. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then after that, we're going to have a short, brief dialogue on the topic of race, faith, and social justice. That dialogue is going to be entitled, Can We Talk? Now, that's my, other than Wendy Williams, how you doing? I'm not doing that. I'm doing, Can We Talk? And, you know, with everything that's happening in our environment and in the atmosphere and in culture, we felt like it was important. And Reverend Emma asked me if I would be willing to put together an informal discussion around some of those issues. And so once we wrap up service today, we'll go out for some cake and hospitality. And I think there'll be some pizzas there, too. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back in here at 1 o'clock. We'll kind of just set up and we're going to talk. It's not a lecture. It's not, you know, a top-down kind of a thing, because really the only way that we're going to make it through some of these issues is through communication, is through dialogue, is through talking with one another. And so we'll do that maybe for about, you know, an hour or so. I won't keep you all afternoon, so I hope that you would be willing to stay, because I think the more voices that are present in the conversation, the more fruitful it will be. So hopefully those of you who can stay, stick around for a little while after a service. I would greatly appreciate that. Amen? Amen. Amen. So now let me go to my script. Being the Christ that you want to see. Good morning, MCC. Of course, I am so incredibly humbled and grateful to be standing here before you all this morning, being given what I believe is a sacred opportunity to share God's message with you. If you had told me 20 years ago that I'd be standing in a pulpit preparing to minister, I would not have believed it. I had just joined church. I had just really began following God, and I wasn't even sure what I had gotten myself into, let alone how to preach about it. I just, you know, I was at my rope's end, and I didn't have any place else to turn, so my cousin said, try Jesus. Okay, fine, I'll try it. It's fine. You know, so she, I didn't grow up religious, and so, you know, we went to church on, I call CME Christians, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. That's when we went, and Some of us are still that, and it's okay. We didn't go to church much growing up, but then through some tumultuous things happening in my childhood and then my mom ultimately passing away due to complications from alcoholism, I found myself in a very dark place and I was hopeless and really looking for some answers and some guidance. And again, one of my cousins said to me, you know, why don't you come to church with me? I said, well, I don't have anything else to lose, you know, and I came to church. And 20 years later, I'm standing in front of the church to share with you. I would like to thank my cousin for being here with me today, Paige. Say hello to everybody. This is my cousin from Ohio who is in her first year at Howard University Law School. So, yes, she's going to change the world if she can get through this first year. So, please keep her in your prayers because it is a difficult task. I mean, they discourage them from working because there's just so much work. And, you know, I just witness her at night, you know, she's up at the, you know, middle of the night, you know, burning the midnight oil, reading stuff that I can't even pronounce. So, you know, it takes a lot of grace and strength to do that. So I'm glad you could take a break from studying and join me today. So when I got to church and I started listening to what was being said, it was starting to give me some hope. And I used to walk around in my living room singing this song. It was called Use Me. You know, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Be careful what you sing in this one. I just thought it was a great song, right? You know, I'm all in my living room. If you can use me, Lord. Yes, amen. And lo and behold, here I am. God is good. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this moment. As I said, I'm thankful to Rev Emma. I'm also thankful to you guys because I've been here now since April. And you guys have been so open and loving and supportive of my internship here. And it's been quite a journey. And as I move toward the completion of my internship early next year, I want to take as many opportunities as I can while I'm still here to thank you all from the bottom of my heart. I'm not going anywhere yet. You're stuck with me for a few more months. Okay, amen. But I couldn't think of being in a better place to serve, especially at such a time as this. Now, on to the message. Today's message title was, Be the Christ That You Want to See. It's a variation on the famous quote attributed to Gandhi, Be the change that you want to see in the world. Has anyone ever heard that? If you want to see the change, you've got to be the change. We're always talking about what we want to see changed, and so we want to be the change. And so for me, I kind of added a little spiritual, if you will, twist on it and said, okay, well, let's be the Christ you want to see. And I'll get to that in a moment. The second reading that we listened to today from Gandhi is actually where that be the change came from. I said it was attributed to Gandhi because no one can find that exact quote attached to Gandhi. So folks are thinking, well, maybe they pulled it from someplace else, sort of came up with it. But let me look again at the second reading that we went over today. It said, if we could change ourselves, the tendencies in the world would also change. As a man changes his own nature, or woman, so does the attitude of the world change toward him or her, or them or that. We need not wait to see what others do. So essentially what Gandhi is saying here is if we want to see something different, we have to be something different. And a lot of times that's easier said than done. As I preached a few weeks ago, we're all human. Oh gosh, are we? We're imperfect, we're flawed, and we're doing the best that we can each day to navigate this ever complicated world. And sometimes we wonder in the midst of all this, how can we make any difference at all? I'm glad you asked. So our second reading sort of goes into one of the conversations of the many conversations that Jesus was having with his disciples. And at the time that this talk was taking place, he was preparing for what had been given to him as his purpose for having come to the earth to be an example and then to ascend so that others could follow the example that he had set. So Jesus often would pull the disciples aside to have these, you know, enlightening conversations. And so in John 15, our second reading, he started talking about, you know, who he was in relationship to them and what they should be drawing from him. And I'll get to that part. But prior to that part of the conversation, he started in John 14 talking to them about him going away. He was, preparing them and giving them some comfort. He says, you know, listen, guys, this is my paraphrase, my super unspiritual paraphrase. He says, listen, guys, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you all. Are you familiar with that? He says, you know, where I'm going, there's many mansions, but I'm going to leave this comforter for you. But please know that my example will remain, and that I am going to a place so that you can come in fully to what is meant for you. He says, you know, I am the way. People heard that scripture, the truth and the life. No man comes. There's multiple interpretations of that. But he essentially was saying, I have come to show you the way. I have been your example. I have completed my role, and I'm about to move on. And so he had a couple of doubters in the group, you know, Thomas and Philip, you know, that always had an opinion. So Thomas spoke up and said, you know, show us the way. Show us the way before you go. And that's where Jesus said, you're looking at it. I am the way. What I have done, the example I have provided, what I have shown you, what I have demonstrated is the way in which you are supposed to follow. That's the path that you're supposed to be on. And then as the Abba is in me, the Abba will be in you, and you'll be fine. And Philip says, show us Abba. You know, the translation says show us the Father, but show us Abba. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you this long that you still don't see the example that I'm trying to provide for you? Have you not witnessed the acts that I've demonstrated, the compassion I've measured out, the patience I've exerted in dealing with all of you? How do you think I'm able to do that? It's because of Abba's presence in me, the grace in me. I am in God, and God is in me. But here's the kicker, Phil. God's also in you. The ability, the grace, and the strength. That's been my message. That's been my example. And so greater works, even than I have been able to accomplish, you'll be able to do. You have been empowered by the same God that empowered me to be living witnesses of that presence of God that's working in and through your life. So you ask me, how can I be the Christ or be the God that I want to see in the world? Walk in the empowerment of what God has given each of us the ability to do. Our first reading continues on. Christ says, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but if you are following the example that I've provided, you'll be able to do everything that I've done and even more. You have fruit that will be born. Now, when I read that about bearing fruit, when I think of fruit, I think of spiritual fruit, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody familiar with that terminology? Can someone give me an example of one of the fruit of the Spirit?
Love, joy, peace.
Sound like you're going to sing. Love, joy, peace.
Grace.
Kindness,
compassion,
self-control. Look at this, all these scholars in the building. Patience, kindness, joy, self-control, all of those fruit of the Spirit. You all are familiar with those. How many of those are we exhibiting on a daily basis? Oh. And I said we. I am including myself in that.
We're trying.
There you go. And that's all that we can do. We are trying. We are trying to bear the fruit, and it's not always easy to do, but it boils down to this. If we want to see more love in the world, we got to be more loving. If we want to see more compassion, we've got to exercise compassion to someone else, ourselves included. What we want to see, we need to be. I know that might sound simplistic or cliche-ish, but living a faith-filled life isn't as complicated as it may seem, or that it may be presented to us at times. So I ask all of us again, what spiritual fruit is being produced on our branches? Last year, I think it was, Pope Francis came and did a visit to the U.S. Anybody remember that? I do, because I got stuck in the traffic with one of those motorcade went by. Because I worked over near Catholic University in D.C., and he was going over there to do Mass at the cathedral, or the Basilica of the Shrine of the National Immaculate, that 17 name title, whatever it is, the Shrine of the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, and it's really long. But it's a beautiful place, and he was celebrating Mass there, and so they had all the streets blocked off, and it was just a big to-do. But he visited Washington. He visited, several different cities. Philadelphia was one of the places that the Pope decided to visit. And I like Pope Francis, by the way. Those Jesuits are a little different than your traditional priests, and he's stirring up stuff in the Catholic Church. I like a rebel, and he's washing women's feet and, doing away with the little papal golf cart because, and all the excess that he felt like was, drawing away from the meaning of the church. And so I really appreciate what Pope Francis has been able to do and to accomplish. But on this particular day, while he was here in the United States, he went to Philadelphia and he asked to go visit a prison specifically. He wanted to sit and talk with some of the inmates. So they selected maybe 7 or 8 guys and brought Pope Francis into the midst of these inmates, and they were all sort of sitting in a circle talking. And he decided to share what I felt were some wonderful words of compassion with this group of inmates that he met with. He said to them, "It is not possible to walk the roads of life without getting one's feet dirty." He said, "I'm here as a pastor, but above all as a brother, to share in your situation and to make it my own. And therein, to me, lies an example of God's grace embodied in a human being." That's part of our role here. We're here to be the God, the Christ that we want to see in the world, to embody the love, the compassion, the patience, the peace, and the wisdom of God, particularly in our actions toward one another. We're the ones that lay claim to being the people of God that are uniquely inspired, and yet oftentimes we hold back in fully embodying that reality. Are we being kind to one another? Are we able to get along with our family members? Some of them. Okay, I'm sorry. God love them. Our coworkers.
Oh boy.
Are we offering compassionate words of wisdom to friends and those in need? And like Pope Francis, are we endeavoring to share in their situation and make it our own? Let me ask you another question. How do people feel after encountering you or me? Do they feel lifted, supported, cared for, loved? Do they see God in you? More importantly, do they feel it? The late, great Maya Angelou, y'all know that's my spirit mother, so I'm a worker in. The late Maya Angelou said, "People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel." I worked for 10 years as an adjunct professor at a local community college, and I would often ask my students, how many people's lives are different because of your influence or your impact? You can't use family because they're in your purview. They're too close. They're too easy. But I'd say to them, how many people's lives are different because of your influence or impact? And if 5 names didn't come immediately to your mind, then you've got homework. That's what we're here to be and to do. We often cry, and there's cries about the lack of godliness in the world, the lack of love. All hell is breaking loose, and it is, in our cities, and Hatred is rearing its ugly head in various forms. Racism and sexism, bigotry, violence, intolerance, and the like. Story after story of despair, desperation, death. Constantly, some are crying out, "Where is God? Where is this God?" And that God is saying, "Where are you? Where are we?" That's our role. To be the manifestation of God's grace in the world. We are the ones that we've been waiting for. So what are we going to do about it? These are tumultuous, uncertain, and scary times we're living in. Seriously. I mean, like, seriously. I know we say that, but I don't know about you all, but I'm a little scared. Just because I just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the unknown is always a little, you know, sort of nerve-wracking, but right now with everything that's being said and done, I am trying not to be a nervous wreck. The times we are living in are unstable spiritually, economically, culturally, individually. Stuff is happening. And we as people of faith and conviction in something larger than ourselves have a unique role, I believe, that we can play in offering some steadiness and stability to an unstable world. Will we be the change? Or simply retreat and wait for change to happen? If we want to see more of God's graciousness in the world, it starts with us in our local neighborhood, on our job, even here in this sanctuary. So that being said, consider edifying someone this week. Perform a random act of kindness for somebody. You know, I've been seeing more of that lately, by the way. People are, you know, they'll post on Facebook, "The car in front of me paid for my coffee at Starbucks." Or, you know, I go up to pay a toll and they say, "Oh, the car in front of you took care of it." I'm like trying to catch up with them. Thank you! Random acts of kindness don't have to be anything big or anything, you know, glamorous, and nobody even has to know you did it. That's sort of the random piece. Yeah, nobody even has to know. But we do it not out of a sense of obligation or performance or duty, but doing it from a place of grace and of recognition that you or me may be the only God someone encounters or sees. My ask of you this morning is to be the Christ, the God, the grace, the love that you want to see. We've got it. It's in there. It may have been pushed down and pressed down by life's circumstances. And like Kim shared, she walked away from everything altogether. And some of us may have been there, might still be there, and trying to figure out, am I coming back or not? And that is perfectly normal to be in those places. And I'm not asking you to do something just for the sake of doing it. It needs to be from a genuine place. I do honor and believe that. But I believe that sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit for what we're capable of doing, what we ultimately have the capacity to do. And I found that the more I am troubled or concerned about something with me, if I turn my attention towards someone else and offer some sort of grace or kind word or compassion, or if I hug one of those little critters that I work with at my school that gave me an upper respiratory infection, I'm sorry, I'm bitter. But, you know, I have found if I take that focus off of what I might be fearful about or concerned about and offer the opposite to someone else, I too receive something from that. Has anybody else sensed that from time to time? It helps to make the shift. And it's those small little shifts that we make in our individual lives, as Gandhi said in that reading, we mirror the world. And the more that we change and develop ourselves on the inside, the more the world will change in how they respond to us and ultimately to one another. So I ask you today, be the Christ you want to see in the world. And I almost promise that life as you know it will fundamentally change. Amen. Amen.